take your Bible, turn to Matthew chapter 15. Matthew chapter 15. I have what I think is one of the most interesting topics about prayer. Topics about prayer. Oh, can't say it. It's going to be another one of those nights. Hang on, could be fun. Who knows what it's going to be pronounced as. But I think I can help everybody tonight. I mean this, if you just got saved today, or if you've been saved for a year, 10 years, or 75 years, I really believe tonight will help you. Matthew chapter 15, let's look at verse number 21. The Bible says, "Then Jesus went thence and departed into the coast of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Cana came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David, my daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. But he answered her not a word." Notice that little statement right there. "But he answered her not a word. And again, and his disciples came and besought him, saying, Send her away, for she crieth after us. But he answered and said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then came she and worshipped him, and saying, Lord, help me. But he answered and said, It is not meet to take the children's bread to cast it before dogs. And she said, Truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table. Then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour." Now, look back at me, if you will. This lady from Canaan comes and sees Jesus at a... She literally runs up to her in a... Or runs up to him in a crowd of people. And she plows her way through. She wiggles her way through. She works her way up to him and said, "Lord, have mercy on me. My daughter's vexed with the devil and I need you to heal her." And the Bible says something very interesting. It says, "But he answered her not a word." It was as though Jesus totally ignored her. It seems like there are times when God doesn't hear us. I don't know about like you, but I know for me, there's times I've looked up and said, "Did you hear anything that I just said?" There are times I feel like God's just not listening to me. I don't know if you've had those feelings. I have. And there will be times when you will feel that way, I promise you. Now, have you ever seen two women talking? That's just, we'll leave it right there. But have you ever seen two ladies talking and one of the ladies' children comes up and just starts, "Mom, mom, mom, mom," and starts rolling into something real quick. And mom is totally oblivious that that child's there. They just keep talking as though that child's not there. And eventually, if that child backs off, or the child will back off, but if the child will just stop, wait their turn, mom generally then will stop and talk to the child. But if when the mom does not answer that child right away, does the mom not love that child? Maybe. No. does she not care about him? Does she not care about that child's need? Does that mom want to hurt that child? This lady here in Matthew chapter 15 was not a bad person. From all indication, I wouldn't even say she was a fallen woman. I'd say she was a good Christian lady who knew the only person that could help her was Jesus Christ. She had a daughter, probably a grown daughter, that got involved in demonism and was messed up with the devil. And she said, "Look, you're the only one that can help me with this, and I need your help." Now, wait a minute. Why did Jesus ignore her? Why? I think you'll find it interesting. He didn't ignore her forever. If you look down two verses to verse 25, it said, "Then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me." She came back to him. So there was obviously something between verse 23 and verse 25 that took place. That before he would not answer her, the second time he would. I call this Why God Does Not Answer. I believe there are six reasons or six times, you can use whichever word you want, but six reasons that God refuses to speak to us at times. I want to share those with you tonight. Number one, the first time that I believe God refuses to speak to us is because He's already spoken. Do you realize there are things that we ask God for that He's already written in the Word of God that we don't need to ask Him for? Folks, if it's in there, you don't need to ask Him about it. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Your children. If they've asked you for something, you've given them the answer 14,276 times, and they ask you again, and you say, what did I say the other times? Y'all know what I'm talking about? There comes a certain point in time in life where you look at your kids and you just look at them, and you won't answer them, because they've asked and 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 asked, and you've already spoken, why say it again? You see, 95% minimum of everything you need to know as a Christian is in that book that's on your lap right now. If you did 95% of the will of God, you're better than most. If you knew 95% of everything that God wanted out of your life, guess what? That's still a pretty solid A, isn't it? So why is it that we spend most of our life worried about the 5% we don't know? You have entire denominations based on 5%. Oh, we need a word of knowledge. You don't need a word of knowledge. You need to read the words God wrote to you and just obey them. Well, we've got to be saved, sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost, and speak with tongues to prove that we're filled with God. No, you don't. That doesn't mean nothing. Laying on the floor, flopping like a fish, jibber-jabbering stuff that you and God both don't understand doesn't do anybody any good. By the way, my Bible says tongues were for a sign, not to them that believe, but to them that believe not. Tongues were given so people could get saved, not so they were proof of being filled with the Holy Spirit. Tongues were a verbal language so that somebody could understand in their language the gospel of Jesus Christ. Acts chapter 2, at the day of Pentecost, they didn't get up and just start jibber-jabbering and everybody understood. It said every man heard in his own tongue. They were listening to intelligent languages. Never mind, we'll take that up at another time. But why is it that we want to focus on the 5% that we don't know? If you were going to sit down and take a test that had 100 questions, and you knew 95 of those 100 questions, would you not take the test and just look for the answers to those five? Or would you do the 95 and go back and try to figure out the rest? I'd do the 95 and not worry about the others. All through high school, all through college, and I've taken a lot of tests. I have taken more tests than I care to think about. But every time I was given a test, you know what I did? I put my name at the top. Say why? Because that way I got credit for it one way or the other. If I didn't study, I put somebody else's name on. No, but I put my name at the top, and then I started through, and I answered every question I knew. Every question I had no worries about, I knew the answer to, I'd answer it and leave the others blank. If I had time, I went back and started thinking about the ones I didn't know. I didn't get through the first six questions and go, oh, I don't know that one. Oh, I better sit here for about 10 minutes and try to figure that. No. You go through and answer what you know. Yes, sir. Then go back and try to remember what you didn't remember. You see, so many times in the Christian life, we start going and all of a sudden we say, oh, I don't understand that. I better wait here till I get the answer. And man, life is passing you by and God's not going to answer you because He already put it in the book. You just didn't read it. You know, you don't have to get on your knees and spend 2 weeks in prayer and fasting and say, God, should I tithe? God commanded you to. You don't have to ask God whether you should or should not. Just obey it. You know, you don't have to get on your knees and ask God whether you should witness to people and tell others about Jesus Christ. You don't have to say, well, Brother Smith, would you bind together in prayer with me because I think there's probably somebody I should talk to about the gospel. Would you pray for the specific name of the person I'm supposed to talk to? That's stupid. Just go tell everybody. You can't tell the wrong person the gospel. You don't need to pray about it because God already told you what to do. This is a good one. You don't have to pray whether or not you should gossip. Well, I wonder if I should tell somebody about somebody that they did this, that somebody told me that they did that. The answer is no. You don't have to pray and ask God whether you should spread negative truth. Guess what? The answer is no. Say why? God already told you. Keep your mouth shut. Everybody doing okay? Okay. You know, you don't have to pray and ask God if somebody's in need and you have the wherewithal to fill their need. You don't have to pray and ask God whether you're supposed to do it. You're supposed to do it. Everybody doing okay? Okay, here we go. There are times as a parent you need to stop repeating yourself to your children and just look at them and make them do what they've already been told. Now, I'm not talking about a 10-month-old that doesn't know what they're doing yet. I told you to quit crying. I'm going to stop till you stop. And their diapers clear up to their ears. Okay, sometimes there is a reason. But I am talking about as your children grow and mature. And then they hit junior high and you start all over again and you got to go through it again. But there comes a point in time where you've got to stop mollycoddling your children and doing everything for them. Quit giving them the answer to everything and make them find it out themselves. We live in a generation that wants everything given to them. They don't want to work for nothing. Boy, that makes me mad. All right. So, when will God not answer you? When he's already told you what to do in the book and you're not doing it. When God's already spoken and you, there's no need for him to say it again. Okay, number two. Everybody okay? Okay, because you're probably going to get mad at me before too long. It might be this point. Number one, when he's already spoken. Number two, because you haven't spoken to him. Do you only talk to God when you need something? Look at Matthew chapter 15. Look at verse number 22. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. But he answered her not. Now watch this. Here's this woman. She didn't come up. She didn't introduce herself. She came up and said, look, I got a problem. I need your help. Now help me now. And Bible says Jesus didn't even acknowledge she was there. Then in verse 25, then came she and worshiped him, saying, Lord, help me. What's the very next statement? But he answered. Ah. Guess what she didn't do the first time? Spend time with him. Think with me for a moment. This lady ran to him in need only. When she took time to worship him, to spend some time with him, then he answered her. By the way, before the conversation was over, then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee that this very hour your daughter is going to be healed. He knew what he wanted to do. I wonder if she wouldn't have spent time worshiping whether he would not have answered. I'm going to get probably a little too personal. Some of you grown adults, if your parents are still alive, better learn how to spend some time with them and not keep asking them for stuff. Just learn to spend time with them. If all I ever did is talk to my mom or dad when I needed something, I hate to tell you, that bank's going to dry up real fast. By the way, my mom will tell you, there's not a day of my life that goes by that I don't talk to them. Just so you know. And I live in the same town. And probably two or three times a day, I talk to my folks. Say, why? Are you a mama's boy? Of course. You know what? I love my parents because they're my parents. I love what they've done for me all these years. I respect my mom and dad. I honor my mom and dad. And I've said this before, I'll say it again. When they go to heaven, I don't care if they're penniless and have nothing and leave nothing to me. I don't want their things. I want them. That's all I care about. I don't need their things. I want them. I want the relationship I have with them. That's what I'll take with me when they're not here. Their things won't mean as much if I don't have a relationship. Now listen to me very carefully. Effective prayer is not rushing to ask God whatever you need. Effective prayer is abiding with God and then telling him what you need. Did you catch that? Just because you're good at running to God when you got a problem doesn't mean you can get a hold of God. It's abiding with God and spending time in fellowship with God, and then you have a need arise and God says, what you need? Well, since you asked, I need this. That's what effective prayer is. So many times we have a car accident, or we have this tragedy, or we have that tragedy, and we're good at running to God right then because, God, we need help right now. That's not effective prayer. It's those times you're not in need that you spend time with him, that when the emergency comes, it's a little easier. That's effective prayer. You know, God wants us to want him before we want what he has or what he can give us. Let me say that again. God wants us to want him before we want what he has or what he can give us. Prayer is talking to God before the emergency so that the line is open when there is an emergency. Just because you're in a battle and you're in a foxhole and there's bullets flying by, guess what? That's not the only time you're supposed to pray. Hey, remember a few years ago the economy was great and everything was going good and people got money in the bank and you're making extra money and you're buying extra things? Guess what? When the bank dried up and the interest rates starting to shoot up and the economy's down, you're still supposed to be spending time with God. And those that learned how to walk with God while it was good, while it's bad, it's not as bad. Those that forgot God when it's good, guess what? They're struggling real bad right now. Boy, that's good stuff. Number three. Number one, God doesn't always speak when he's already spoken. Number two, because you've not spoken to him. This is the one I don't like. Number three, when you won't listen. Ugh. Say, does that happen to you, Brother Bush? I'm a man. Why should I listen? Why should God answer you if you're not going to listen? You've all been in those situations, whether I was there as a teacher, I've been there as a parent. And all of our children go through this. There's times you look at them and say, why should I tell you? You're not going to listen to me anyway. Y'all know what I'm talking about? I won't tell you which child. It's not the one that's in my house right now. Okay? Lest the lines get blurred. But one of my boys was studying to get his driver's permit and failed it. I said, you want some help? Nope. Okay. Took it again. Failed it again. I said, Doc, why don't you get some help? Dad, I know what I'm doing. I said, oh, you do? You failed it twice. How much do you really know? How many times did you take it? I said, once. I said, I've only been driving for 30 years. I guess I don't know much. He took it the third time and failed it. After the third time, I said, son, you're stupid. I know that's not politically correct, but I've never claimed to be, so I don't care.
Hello?
There we go. I hate that button. I told him, I said, you need to use some wisdom. He said, what do you mean? I already know it all. I said, no, you don't. You've taken that stupid test three times, failed it all three times. Don't tell me you know it. I said, I've driven hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of thousands of miles, maybe a million miles, and to that date and to this date still, have yet to have an accident. I said, my last traffic ticket was 24 years ago. Guess what? I think I know a little bit more about driving than you do. We were going somewhere. He said, Dad, how would you handle? I said, won't matter. You won't listen to me anyway. And I did not answer him. Say why? Because he was not in the frame of mind to listen to me. I knew with how he poised his question, he was just wanting to spar. He asked me the same question a little bit later with a different attitude, and I answered him. But I was not going to answer when he was not going to listen. Did it make sense to everybody? When you refuse to do what God says, why should he answer you? Why? You know, people who ask my advice and refuse to do it and then blame me because their life is screwed up, it doesn't make sense to me. And it's going to happen over and over and over again. And I get people that come, ask my advice, and sometimes they'll do the first part of things, but not all of it, and things mess up, and they want to blame me for doing wrong. There's other times they come and ask me and do the opposite, and then blame me because they did the opposite, and their life is messed up. And I'll help you. Trust me. But do me a favor. If you're going to ask my advice, at least listen to it. Sometimes you're listening with emotion and not with wisdom. I can listen with wisdom and try to answer you the best way. I've seen it over and over and over and over and over and over and over in 25 years of full-time Christian service. I think I've learned a little bit more. I know you think you're the exception to the rule, but I doubt you are. I'll let you know if you are. Okay? And I don't mean this the wrong way, but if you're not going to listen, why ask? Okay? A hard-headed teenager may not get the answers because they refuse to obey. Teenagers, can I tell you something? You don't know as much as you think you know. Everybody doing okay? I need to hear some amens here. Yeah, there you go. Teenage young men, listen, you're not as smart as you think you are. Right now, you got it all figured out, just like your dad did and your grandpa. Ask them. All those plans changed an awful lot. I remember saying, ain't no way I'm ever going to tell my kids what my dad just told me. I remember the first time one of my kids did something. Josh was first born. I remember calling my mom and dad and said, I'm sorry. Remember that? I said, I'm sorry. They said, for what? I said, I've never said this. Those words just came out of my mouth like it was natural. I was wrong. You were right. I can't tell you how many times that's happened. Say why? best laid plans of mice and men. Amen. It doesn't come out like you think you have it all figured out. You've not experienced as much life as somebody that's two and three times as old as you are. You don't know as much as you think you do. Oh, you're just so outdated. When you've lived as long as I have, you've seen everything come around twice. It all just keeps coming in circles, trust me. Hang on to the ties that are going out of style right now. In 15 years, you can wear them again. It's coming back. Okay? Everybody doing okay? Here we go. Number four. There are times God has nothing to say. Do you know there are times that God has nothing to say? You know, sometimes you put God in a situation he can't answer. You've committed yourself. I had a person in the last year. You won't know who it is, so don't say, oh, I know who that was. No, you don't. Okay? But I had a person come to me, and they said, well, Brother Bush, I made a promise to God that I was going to give X amount of money. That amount of money was more than they even made. Now, I appreciate faith, but I mean, that's more than their entire yearly income. And they said, well, I've been given and I've been given and I've been given. Now I can't pay my bills. What do I do? I said, pay your tithe and start paying your bills. But I made a promise to God. I said, well, I have the right to tell you that was stupid. That was a foolish vow. And I can release you from it. According to the scriptures, I've released you from it. And I start paying your bills and be an honest person. They got mad at me. I mean, they got indignant. I had to help them pay their bills, and yet they're trying to give more than they make to God. Folks, that's called foolish. Okay? As long as I have any sanity at all, we're not having a give-it-all Sunday. Can I tell you why? I think God's people ought to be obedient in their tithes and offerings, and whatever else we need to give, we'll sacrifice, and we'll just take the time to get there. I don't think it's right for me to ask you to give everything you make in 1 week or 2 weeks or 1 month of your life, make you live by faith that hard. I don't think that's right. Now, I don't think some other church has done anything bad. I've just watched an awful lot of people get hurt by that kind of stuff. I'm not asking you to do that. I'm asking you to live wise. Everybody doing okay? Okay. God will not say anything if it has no value. Oh, God, I need you to tell me what color carpet we're going to put in the auditorium. Oh, God, I don't pray about what color the carpet's going to be. Say why? I'm colorblind. I don't care as long as it's not hot pink. Folks, I don't need to pray about what color the walls are going to be. I don't. Say why? I don't need to ask God's advice on what color the wall and the paint on the wall is going to be. Y'all doing okay? I don't think that's such a big deal with God. He wants to make sure what's going on behind this piece of wood's hot. He doesn't care what color it is. Number five, I better hurry. Sometimes God cannot answer. Now, I didn't say God is unable to, but sometimes God cannot answer. Let me show you what I mean. Two Christian schools are getting ready to play a basketball game. The guys on this bench are saying, oh God, please help us win this game. Guess what? The guys on this bench are saying, oh God, help us win this game. You've put God in a bad spot. One team's going to believe in God, the other team's going to become atheist. Y'all know what I'm talking about? You're putting God in a position to where he cannot answer. I've watched this in Bible colleges a lot. I had two guys come to my office within the same day. Now, it was different services, but it was the same day. They came to my office, one in the morning, one in the evening. Brother Bush, I need you to pray about something. I want to date this girl. And it was the same girl. One of them got the girl and the other one was happy. I mean, let's face it. You put God in a situation, sometimes he cannot answer. Y'all know what I'm talking about. By the way, boys and girls, don't ever pit mama against daddy. And daddy against mama. Mama and daddy, before you answer a child's request, you might want to say, what did your mama say? I learned real fast them little critters know what they're doing. There's times I've said, what'd your mama say? Let me talk to your mama. And you watch the countenance change. Guess what? I won. Now, it wasn't always that way. Sometimes it got me off guard. But by the time third kid came along, she didn't have a chance. Amen? Sometimes being the younger is good. Sometimes it stinks. But guess what? You sometimes put God in a bad situation. There are times people come to my office and they say, Brother Bush, I prayed about this. This is what I'm going to do. What do you think? I don't answer them. If you come and tell me what you're going to do and then ask me what I think, it doesn't matter. You've put me in a situation, if I didn't agree with you, I cannot tell you. And if I do agree with you and it falls apart, it's my fault. And I won't, I haven't had time to pray about it. You're not real wise if you go to somebody and say, Donnie, I'm going to do this. What do you think? Not a good way to get advice. Everybody doing okay? All right. Don't put God in a spot to where he has to choose between two rights for your life. Okay? Number six, I got to hurry. There are times when God decides not to answer you so that he can answer a group of people all at one time. Let me show you what I mean. And this is not a true situation. This is made up. This is an illustration, okay? Let's say Brother Logue comes to me and has a question, has a problem, and he stops and asks me that question. And then Mrs. Rogers comes and within a couple days asks me virtually the same question and the same problem. They both hate Brother Rogers. No, but they both have a problem. And then Jessie comes to me, and she asks me the same question within about a week or so. And then Mrs. Barnes asked me the same question. Well, if I've had four people come to me within about a week with the same thing, guess what? I have a problem, or we have a situation. And it may not be about a person. It's just a topic or a situation or whatever. I may not choose to answer all of them individually. I may say, why don't you just wait about a week or so, and I'll take care of that, because obviously others have the same question. And we'll take care of that. There's times I have preached topics from behind this pulpit because I've had 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 people come to me with the same type question. And I'm thinking, okay, I got to fix this. I got a little weakness here. Let's shore it up here. I got a little problem over here. Let me fix it over here. Let me build that up a little bit. Let me tack this up here. Let me move this over here. Say, what is that? I try to take from what you bring to me to help fill the void. And if enough of you ask the same type of question, guess what? We're going to get a sermon on it. Now, you're not going to be the sermon illustration. I'm not going to be making it to where everybody knows you came to my office over it. You might say, oh, I remember asking that question. Wow. But I've never embarrassed you by that. Nobody else knew you asked the question. By the way, you can ask my wife. We don't talk about what goes on in my office. My wife doesn't hear everything you bring to me. Matter of fact, she doesn't hear anything. She'll tell you. She's the last one to find out. She finds out when you find out. Say why? She's not my assistant pastor. She's my wife. Some of you ladies sometimes say, well, I asked Mrs. Bush and she said you didn't tell her. You're right, I didn't tell her because it's none of her business. That's my business, not hers. Don't get mad at her and don't get mad at me. Everybody doing all right? Okay. There might be times because I try to keep my wife posted, if I've had appointments with several ladies or a lady, I'll say, I've had appointments with these ladies, just so you know, but I never tell her what it's about. Never. Just clear the air here. Say, oh, you trying to hide something from your wife? Go ask her. Yes, I'm hiding everything from her. Including the checkbook. No. I hide it from her because I don't want to drag her through the mud I got to live in. Well, you don't care about me if you don't tell her. Why do I want to gossip to my wife? She's supposed to encourage me, not be depressed with me. Everybody doing okay? Boy, that's good stuff. You know, my preaching often is, Brother Hiles used to say it this way. He would catch in vapors from the people so that he could preach it to the flood. He'd pick up, you know, when you have thousands of people, he could get 50 questions in the same week about the same thing. Usually it's about if one person has a question, 10 others do too. And that's about right. I may delay the answer so that I've got time to develop it so everybody can understand it. That's called preventive maintenance. Ladies, that's why you're supposed to check the fuel gauge before you leave to go shopping. Not put it back in the driveway and say, the car's kind of going bruh, 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 when I got it in the driveway and I don't know what the problem is. And then you got to go fill up the gas can just to get it to the gas station, amen? Say, what is that? You got to look ahead a little bit. I may delay the answer so as to be able to help the whole group, not because I hate you, but it may be that you're the third or fourth or fifth person in a short amount of time, and I might say, you know what? I've had that question a few times. If you'll wait just a week or so, I'll address that to the church, but not in a way that you would be uncomfortable. I've told some of you that very statement. Say, why? Because I feel like everybody needs to know it. If that many people have come to me, I've got to address the issue. And by the way, that's the way God is sometimes. Sometimes he'll tell the whole group, I know you said this because you've told me this. I've had people stop by my office after I got done preaching and they said, Brother Bush, have you been reading my mail? Have you been getting my text this week? Man, you nailed me. I had seven people in one church service come by my office and say that very thing, one after another, almost in a row. Say, what was that? God talking to all of you to meet that need. I didn't even know what I was shooting at. I just knew I was preaching what I was supposed to preach. God knew what he was shooting at. I didn't. I didn't need to know. I just had to open up the chamber, put a live round in, and let him aim. Amen. You see, sometimes God chooses to answer the needs of the whole group. I'll be honest with you. I was a little embarrassed by my Sunday night sermon on the second coming last Sunday night. I thought, I fought God all week long on that. I thought, this is just too simple, God. Everybody knows all this stuff, and I feel like I was surprised at how many people said, wow, Brother Bush, I never heard it that way. Never had it all put together. I mean, I was shocked. I got probably more comments on that one sermon than I have in the last 3 months. Say, why? I thought it was too simple. I really did. It was so basic to me. I was almost embarrassed. By the time I got done, I was watching everybody going, ugh. I thought, wow, maybe it's not as known as I thought it was. That was God answering a need that I didn't know there was. He chose to speak to the whole group instead of just individually. So, there are six times or six reasons that I believe God sometimes does not answer us. Number one, when he's already spoken. Number two, because you've not spoken to him. Number three, because we don't listen. Number four, because God has nothing to say. Number five, because he cannot answer us because we put him in a bad situation. Number six, sometimes he chooses not to answer you right now to answer the whole group. I love this story of this little lady. She pushes her way through the crowd. She wiggles and waddles and pushes and prods and prompts and says, Jesus, I got to need my daughter's demon possessed and I need your help right now. And he just literally ignores her. The disciples say, you want us to get rid of her? She heard that. And she came and worshiped him. She spent some time with him. She said, Jesus, I've heard a lot about you. I've heard about what you can do. I've heard about how you love people. By the way, the word worship isn't going to church. The word worship is telling God how wonderful he is. God, in Jesus, I've heard about how you've healed people. I've heard about your power. I've heard about your compassion. And she starts worshiping him. Guess what? Then he answered her. He just wanted to spend some time with her. Maybe God would answer more of your prayer if you'd spend some time with him. Effective prayer isn't the fact that you just run to him with a need. Effective prayer is abiding with him and then telling him your needs when they come up. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Oh, we all face what I call dry times of prayer. Oh, God, I wonder, are you listening? A little while ago, I told you about our insurance man calling me. That morning, I said, God, I just need to know you're listening. Guess what? He was listening. He was listening. I had done my best to abide with him, and he was listening. Maybe you need to spend some time with God at the altar tonight.